2 Timothy 3, and let me start reading to you from verse 6. Now, listen carefully. For of these, of whom? Look at verse 1. But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty. This description in verses 1 through 5 is that which is spoken about in verse 6. Of these, all of these creatures of God, professing Christians of God, religious followers that are completely hypocritical, it says in verse 6 now, for of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sins, led away by different lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. Men corrupted in mind, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be evident unto all men, as theirs also came to be. Unless God had revealed this truth to me in the Word, I would have thought that the ones being described in verses 1 through 5 by Paul were the same people that Paul was describing in Romans chapter 1. Let me read you this for the sake of time. It speaks about people that refuse to have God in their thinking, and God gave them up. They're vile creatures of God. They did not want to have God in their knowledge. You say they did not want to have God in their knowledge. No. And they're filled with maliciousness and unrighteousness and wickedness and malignity, whisperers, backbiters. You say, yes, that's a description of people that do not want to have God in their knowledge. Now, look over at 2 Timothy 3, and this is what it says in verse 5. These unsavory individuals hold a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You say, well now, they are alike in one way and different in another. Yes. In Romans, they do not want to have the knowledge of God about them. They reject God, all that's associated with Him. But these, in 2 Timothy 3, are those that hold a form of godliness. They're filled with religion, but their kind of religion is one that is outward, a strict following of a form and ceremony outwardly, but inwardly there is no reality to them. They have denied the power thereof. And this is what we must accept from God, that the world is filled with people that are religious, that are part of Christendom, and they hold a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You say, well, what character would describe such people? Listen, we're talking about Christendom now. We are talking about those that hold a form of godliness, those that would insist on all rituals and outward ceremonies of the church being carried out strictly, while at the same time they say, there is no power to it. There is no reality to it. These are the ones that we are describing, and they are implacable, slanderers, without self-control, traitors. We must accept that the world is filled with people that are characterized by all of these insulting and degrading characteristics, but God tells us so. I would think this. If my life were so inconsistent, now, there are inconsistencies, but I challenge you to show me glaring inconsistencies like these in verses 1 through 5. And yet with all of these glaring inconsistencies, they still hold on to an outward form of religion, even though they do not believe that there is any reality to it, any power to it. And these are people, even in Timothy's day, they began then, and in the last days, this kind of person is going to become more and more predominant and more vile in their character. This is the kind that is described, and it says in verse 6, "For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sins." So here is the second thing. Even though they are vile and totally unlike the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that when we see him, we'll be like him. They are nothing like the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they probably, in an outward way, look more religious than you and I do. They probably dress in a religious way more than you and I do. They have more outward visible forms of religiousness than you and I do. And yet God says, inside, this is what is wrong. Now, it says, of these are they. They not only insist on being religious and holding a form of godliness, they're not satisfied with that, but they want to creep into other houses of others and take captive certain inhabitants of those houses, and you look at them and you say, well, this is remarkable. Well, let me ask you, in verse 6, those houses into which these miscreants go, are they houses also of professed Christians, or are these heathen houses? And these religious people that hold a form of godliness, they are entering into those houses to try to win them to their own religion. I would look and say, well, if the description is that they are silly and they are laden with sins, they couldn't be Christians, professed Christians. I read to you verses 1 through 5. If I read that description of people, would you think that they were professed Christians? You say, no, but they are. They hold on to a religious form, and so it may very well be that they are not only insisting on being inside a religious group, even though their lives are filled with sins, but they want to go and entrap others that are not believing and behaving the way that they do. Now, for the sake of time, I will tell you this. In the church at Thyatira, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, it said that Christ had something against that church because there was a woman in that church named Jezebel, and she taught and seduced his servants, and fornication and adultery were going on, and God is waiting for that church to repent, waiting for Jezebel to repent, and it said she wills not to repent. So this is what was going on in the days of Paul and in the days of John, the beloved apostle, and it's going to become more and more severe in the last days. But this kind of person, in verse 6, of these are they that creep into houses. So it may be those that are like Jezebel that are going into houses and try to convert those that are in that house to their heinous, sinful way of thinking that is described in verses 1 through 5. You say, how could such a thing be? I do not mind going into someone's house and trying to conform them to the image of Christ, but I'm never going to anybody's house and try to conform them to all of these adverse characteristics in verses 1 through 5. And yet, this is what they are, and they go into these houses, and they take captive silly women. All right, first of all, and I say this with shame, you haven't found me creeping into any houses. Well, let me ask you this. Are there any houses that you found me in at all, getting in by legitimate ways? How many houses have you been in trying to win people? This is the thing that's so embarrassing. You see Jehovah's Witnesses, you see Seventh-day Adventists, and they try to get into houses, but I confess that we, in the assemblies, seldom go out and try to get into houses. I've spoken to one or two about it, and perhaps we shall. But notice, here are people that have lies and sin in their lives, and they are going into houses by stealth, and they are trying to convert people to become like unto themselves. You say, that's terrible. God says, yes. Well, why don't you try to get into a house and to convert people to be conformed to the image of Christ? And if you ask me that, I would say, well, I prefer to be invited into houses, do you understand? That's the way I would like it. I've spoken to others, and they've said, I don't want to go into houses cold. I want an introduction. That's fine. But our brother Craig had a Pentecostal holiness friend to say to him, I want you to come and do some visitation work with me. And even though they believed differently, when Craig would go into the house, he had memorized a little plan of attack, questions that he would ask, answers that he would have, and he would speak to these people, and he did not tell me of any success, but he was willing to go with this Pentecostal man, and I said, well, come over and go visiting with me as well. So I'm just mentioning that, because here are those that are hypocrites, that are vile in character, and yet they get into houses, and they take captive people that are in those houses. Another thing is this. It is impossible for me to take captive anyone in a house the way they do, because you and I, when we go into a home and witness, the Spirit of God must work upon the heart. If the convert is ours, the convert is worthless. But understand that we find people like these creeping into homes, and it means to insinuate yourself into a home. That means you ingratiate yourself. You approach them in a certain way, and I mention this, even though they're doing it in a bad sense, the Savior says that we are to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. And some try to get in homes that way, but I have always tried to be straightforward. I remember this brother with whom I did go visiting, and when he would go to a home, he was straightforward. He would go and say, we are here to speak the word of God to you. He said, now cut off that television set. We want silence when we're talking to you. And I'm sitting there astounded, and people obeyed him, and he witnessed whether or not they were one to Christ. But here are people, and for some reason, they're not satisfied with holding an empty religion. They are not satisfied with being vile and unchristlike, but they want to go and take captive other people, evidently, to make them like they are. Now, I cannot tell you for sure if these people are preachers in verse 6. It says, for of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sins. I can't tell you because we are not told that. However, from a comparison of Jannes and Jambres, these were officials, magicians in Egypt that had a high outward public image, and so evidently these may be leaders. They may be religious leaders among this religion that has outward form, but they deny the inward power thereof. But I can't tell you that for certain. Whether they are preachers of their own religion, even though it's false, or whether they are just others that want to get converts, God knows. But at least they're doing a work. And now, what I've done is to think about this term. They creep into houses and take captive silly women. Isn't that a good way to describe you ladies, silly women? You know what it really means? And I'm going to balance this off, because when I see something like this, if it were silly men, I would have to think of something that said something also about women, but here it says silly women, but what it really says is childish women, immature women. And so they take the liberty to translate it silly women. But they're little babies. It says they're little women. They should be mature and sound, as Paul tells the men, the elders, to be. But instead, they are childish women. So understand that some of you women can be described that way. And having told you that, which is unpleasant, but God says it's true, you turn over to 1 Corinthians 14 now. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians 14, so that you can never say that there's any unfairness in me. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 14, 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, yet in malice be ye babes, but in understanding, in mind, be men. You say, thank you. Because it speaks about men being children, and they should be men. Why, of course. Do you understand? So it means that there are childish women, and sad to say, there are childish men. And I suppose that the time should come in our lives when Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I have difficulty with that. When I get around children, I'm worse than they are. And God exhorts those that are older to be mature and to be sober. But I just love children and play. But it's no excuse. But God says here, and I'm just taking it out of its context and telling you, that brethren, be not children in mind, in understanding. And concerning the sisters, be not childish women. Why? Because if you are childish and you're not mature in your thinking and in your behavior, you are just the one that, in verse 6, of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women, childish women. Why can they be taken captive? Because they are childish. They are immature. That's the reason. But if they were mature women, let someone enter into the house of Priscilla and try to take her captive. You say, they would never take her captive. Why, of course not. Think of Lydia. Think of others like Dorcas. Would they enter into their homes and take them captive? You say, no. They were women that were mature. They were grounded. Yes. But evidently, if these are other professed Christians, then there are those among Christians that are childish. They have never grown up. And they are fair game for people that want to come in and take them captive. And I cannot help but think of all of these television evangelists and all of those that are preaching on the radio. And they can catch all of these childlike, silly, immature women and men. They can get them through television, through radio, and they can get millions of dollars out of them. Let me tell you this, speaking in behalf of my maturity. In years past, I was in someone's home, and they had the television set on, and I saw this woman come out that looked like a clown. And then I saw a man sitting behind her, and later it turned out to be Jim Baker and his wife. And I said, who are they? Oh, they're leading television celebrities. They're wonderful servants of the Lord. I said, they are third-rate entertainers. I said, it's a disgrace to the Lord. Never looked at them again. I saw them 5 minutes, and I saw what they were. And here were other people thinking that they were wonderful, following after them, and now we've understood the truth about these people. Do you understand? Why? Why are they able to take captive people? Because they are childish women, and they are men that are immature, and they are not men. They are like children, and these women are children in their thinking. And the Bible says, in mind be men. And we are not to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. But if you are that way, if you are silly and childish, then someone can come along and they can capture you, and you are worse off than you were before. I mentioned those things. Take them to heart. All right. Concerning this kind of woman, look at verse 6 again.
Here they are in a household. They enter into houses. It speaks about the, I've heard from the household of Chloe, the house of Chloe. That means all the people that live in the house. They enter into households, and they take captive silly women. You notice that the men are left out here. Because so often, those who are prey for the ones that come around and try to get into homes are these women. And they have certain dispositions and certain minds, and these will take them captive. They either take them captive by their suaveness, by their preaching, by their presentation of the truth, however it is, and God doesn't tell us. It simply says that they get into the houses by stealth. They creep in. They insinuate themselves into their houses. And once they get in, they take captive these silly women. So you beware whom you let in your house. And if you do let them in your house, be on guard, because they may be there with ulterior motives. Now, if someone comes to your house with the truth of God to have a devotional time with you and to build you up in Christ, welcome that individual. But it says when John writes to this lady, he speaks about certain ones that deny the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you're not to let those in your house. Here are some that get into houses, and once they get in, they take captive the women that are on the inside. And so often what happens is that if the women are taken captive, then the woman will start working on the husband and start working on the children, and then the woman that was taken captive, eventually the whole household is taken captive, and as it says in the Bible, they overthrow entire households for base gain. But what is a challenge to us is this, that they go into houses and they do something and they get results. Here are their intentions, and they realize their intentions. You and I go in, and it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, but at least let us go and witness, and let us try to gain some to Christ, tell them the truth of God. But God warns us about those that come into our houses, and they come in, and they capture us. But let me ask you, suppose I told you this. Now listen, I said, now somebody's going to come to visit you. He's one that is in love with himself. He loves money. He's boastful. He's haughty. He never obeys his parents. He's unholy. He's a slanderer. He's without self-control. He's fierce. He's no lover of good. This man is coming to your house. You'd say, I'll never open my door. That's exactly the man that's coming to your house. Do you understand? He's the one that gets in, and you don't know it at the time. If you knew that man was all these things, or some of those things, would you listen to him? You say, no. He's worse off than I am. Why, even in my silliness, I could do something for him rather than have him to do something for me. And that's what God wants us to know. So there are those that have the gift of discernment. And when some comes in with false doctrine or ulterior motives, that person can be seen through. And you say, that's enough. We don't want to hear any more of that. I was told, and this is what was so interesting, that a man in a high place now, in an institution of learning, he came to an assembly, and he got up and he started preaching certain things, and one of the elders there said, brother, thank you, but we don't want to hear any more of that kind of preaching. Thank God for such a thing. He had discernment. He was one of what you would call of the higher criticism, and this elder saw it, and he said, we do not want it. So, if they creep in and they get the women, beware, because the woman might be like Eve and take that evil that has been given to her and pass it on to her husband. It may be an evil woman like Jezebel, who influences Ahab, her husband. It may be an evil woman like Delilah that influences Samson. So if these vile visitors that come to the house, if they take captive these silly women, then they're out to get the whole household. Now, another thing about these women that are described in verse 6. It says they are laden with sins. You say, well, how could you ever think that they would be professing Christians? The same way that I told you, the ones in verses 1 through 5 are professing Christians. They hold a form of godliness. They deny the power thereof. And there are some that go along in Christendom, and their lives are filled with sins. And because of that, it may be that they are glad to see another sinner come along, because they may have something in common, flesh answering to flesh. That might be part of it. But it may be this, that if a person is laden with sin, and God knows whether there is a desire to get rid of those sins, we must understand that there are some people who come to church and go to church who have a burden of sin, and they are never told how to get rid of those sins. And so here, if these are professing Christians, here they are in the home laden with sins, and this visitor comes in, and he's going to do something for them. And if you have sins, understand that if a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon comes in, they will tell you something about getting relief from those sins. And people that have such a burden of sins are often willing to listen to anything that comes along. Why? Because the burden is not so heavy now that you've come and told me about it. So what we have to do is this. We have to be the ones that go and show them how to entirely get rid of that burden of sin. Why? Christ bore our sins, and Christ can get rid of those sins. That's what we have to do. But there are some, as it says, promising them deliverance while they themselves are bondservants of corruption. But here are people, unqualified to the greatest degree, and yet they're coming in and they're taking captive these women. Silly women laden with sins. Now, they are led away by different lusts. They can be led by their desires. Now, there may be physical desires here. That may be how some men get in and influence women. Remember that. It says these women are led by different lusts. But this is the word desires. But I've seen some that come in and women have desires to be a teacher among Christian women. Yes, I can give you that position. Or they desire to have an understanding of the Bible. I've always wanted to know things about the Bible. I can tell you things about the Bible. Things like this. They have various desires. Just like Euodias and Syntyche, they were at enmity one with another. There are different desires that women have. They're not always physical. There could be a prominence in an assembly. There could be that desire to be known as a teacher, one well informed. But listen to this. It says that these women are ever learning, and they are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, this is what is bad, and I've seen this before. There are people who just want to know. They want to learn, to learn, to learn. Do you realize that you can learn an abundance of biblical facts and never come to the knowledge of the truth? I remember Brother Edwards telling me years ago how he had learned certain facts. And when a man came to it, he just wanted to tell about these facts that he knew. He said, nowadays, it is the blood of Christ that cleanses from sin. He said, but in olden days, it was the blood of bulls and goats that cleansed from sin. And said he was telling these facts to people. It meant absolutely nothing to him. He was telling the way of salvation, that the blood of Christ cleansed from sin. But he had these facts, and he wanted to tell people. He wanted to learn these things. Do you see? He was learning, learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the way to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, God had the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament to cover sin. But now, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. But that's the way that I get my sins cleansed. Lord Jesus, I want you as Savior. But look, he was learning, learning, and he had never come to the knowledge of the truth. And then finally, he did understand. And all of this learning, he put together, aided by the Spirit of God, and came to the knowledge of truth. And then he was delivered from his sins. And then he was delivered next, he said, from denominationalism. And from then on, he was learning, But he learned, and he reached his objective in learning. Now, let me tell you that some people aren't that way. There are some who just want to know things about the Bible. But this is what it says concerning the Athenians. It says, now they at Athens, and the strangers sojourning there, spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or hear some new thing. Do you see? That was their life. Ah, have you had anything new to tell me? Well, let me tell you something new. Here it is, factual, just talking, but no intention. If this new thing is wrong, to cast it out. If this new thing that Paul came, the resurrection of Christ, if it's truth, embracing it and having hope of the life to come. So here are these people, and the men that come in and take them captive, oh, they'll tell them many things. That's why they may be teachers. They tell them ever so many things, but they are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And let this not be so concerning you. If you hear that there is taught in Christendom, that there is clergy and there is laity, but the Bible teaches there is no such thing as clergy and laity, but all of us are brethren and one is our master. If you come to the knowledge of the truth, then you say, I refuse to have those that call themselves clergy over me. If some say there is the priesthood and there are those that are not priests, and you have read in Peter and in Revelation that we are a kingdom of priests, that we are a holy priesthood, you say, I refuse to have any man be called a priest over me and say that he's something that I'm not in the presence of God. Do you understand? Now, that is learning and coming to the knowledge of the truth. But I've spoken to some, and he has told me of this. He said, now my priest, and I've told him, I said, you are a priest as much as that man. Yes, I remember reading that in the Bible, but my priest, do you see? He knew these things. He had learned them, but he had never come to the knowledge of the truth. And that is the way with these childish women into whose homes these vile persons come, and they take them captive. All right, this comparison, verse 8. And even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. All right, that should be the exposure of them. If you know the truth of God's word, and those who come into your home and say, hath God said, thou shalt not surely die, they are withstanding the truth. And just as Jannes and Jambres, these magicians that are named here, they aren't named in the book of Exodus, just as they came and they withstood Moses presenting the truth of God, it said, these people are going to do the same thing. So expect it for people to come into your house and to tell you that Jesus is not the eternal Son of God. To come into your home and say, there is no such thing as hell. To tell you that Adam was the one who married Eve. Oh yes, they will tell you that. Tell you all of these lies. Understand that they will withstand the truth of God, just as Jannes and Jambres had that contest with Moses. These Egyptian magicians had this contest with Moses and withstood the truth, so these do as well. So these are some of the characteristics of what they are themselves and how they creep into homes, and so beware of them and understand who it is who comes into your home when you admit him. Let him not pervert your soul, corrupt your soul. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, it is with amazement that we read these things in this chapter, trying to comprehend that they're true. But that was told us that they are true. Let us know that we look at men and they look so beautiful on the outside, and they're so smooth, and yet, our God, their hearts could be as vile as the description that Paul gives us in these first 5 verses. Our God, let us be those who prove all things and hold fast that which is good. We thank you for every man of truth, every servant of God that enters home to present Christ to the hearts of those that are truly children of God. So let us welcome them, but let there not be permitted to come into our homes those like unto these, and let us not be taken captive by anyone save the Lord Jesus and his truth. We pray, our God, that these things shall be kept safely within us, treasured up in our hearts, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. meeting is